It's my great pleasure to, first of all, talk with Henry. Henry, welcome to the Redgate Gallery. How do you do?
Thank you very much for having us. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
When I walked in here today, there was a great congregation of young Chinese, young Australians. What's going on?
They're in town for the third Australia-China Youth Dialogue. And what the dialogue is essentially it's an Australia-China Future Leaders Forum. It's held annually between Australia and China. The first dialogue was in Beijing and Shanghai. Last year was in Canberra and Sydney. This year we're in Beijing and Chengdu. The idea is we socialise a group of 30 future leaders in Australia-China relations over a series of discussions that cover politics, economics, China's culture, history, and you create this network of people, this alumni network that going forward long term will grow with each other as they progress in their careers to hopefully have a more sustainable, more comfortable Australia-China relationship amongst future leaders in their respective fields.
Dominic, when was this actually set up? When was it started?
Well, Henry began it in 2010, right? The first was 2010. So this is the third one. I was a delegate at the second Australia-China Youth Dialogue in 2011 in Canberra and Sydney. Henry convinced me to join in, and it was just an absolutely fantastic experience. And so I stayed on with the organising committee and can't regret it.
You're based in Beijing.
I've just returned to Beijing. I'm here permanently now. I've joined China Policy, which is a local consulting company. So I'm thrilled to be here permanently.
Henry, where are you from?
I'm from Australia. I'm of a mixed Chinese-Australian heritage. So my mother's from Taiwan, dad's Australian. But I'm currently based in the US right now. I'm studying for a Master's of Law at Harvard Law School.
And with your background, are you able to understand the kind of cultural similarities, cultural differences between China and Australia?
Yeah, I mean, certainly growing up in a what I'd call a Chinglish-speaking household, having a mother who was always trying to figure out what on earth was going on around her, and having a father who was dad's a Chinese studies professor. And so we grew up in this very confused cultural melange, basically. And so I think growing up was always a little bit of a confusing process. Having spent time in China after graduating, I realized, well, hang on, there's a lot of opportunity here to bridge these cultural gaps, and all it takes is a bit more communication, honest communication, and a fun opportunity of exchange. And that's when we came up with the idea of the dialogue.
It sounds as though it's going actually very well. There's a few actual quotes we've got here about this meeting between Australians and Chinese. 2009, Dr. Stephen Fitzgerald, first ambassador to China. What was his idea about all this?
I mean, Stephen's article was absolutely pivotal for initiating the idea of creating the dialogue. What he identified was that here we are in this rapidly changing macro context, the so-called power shift from sort of west to east. We have a rising China, which is Australia's number one trading partner, and then we have this relationship with the US, which is our number one security partner. Now, if we compare our relationship with the US and with Israel and New Zealand, there's a plethora of these sort of track one and a half dialogues, these institutionalized meetings to get communication going between leaders of both these countries. Now, what he identified in his article is that, well, hang on, here's China, our biggest trading partner. Why on earth don't we have that same level of communication and intimacy with respect to the way we communicate with our peers and colleagues in China? So his article really struck a nerve amongst, you know, the people that I was involved with who were very focused on the Australia-China relationship. And he basically gave us the inspiration to say, well, let's try and set up a dialogue, but aimed at young leaders.
Prime Minister of Australia, Julia Gillard, has said that in the Asian century, business as usual is not enough. What does that mean?
Certainly business as usual for the Australia-China relationship, it's not enough. We need a whole-of-country approach to our relationship with China and to our relationship with Asia in general as well, actually. And that's something that we're trying to push with the Australia-China Youth Dialogue. We bring in a lot of different, it's not just a business and government-focused initiative. That's why we're here at the Redgate Gallery today, because we really feel very strongly that the cultural and art community in Australia and China, sports community, one of our members is the vice captain of the Australian Rugby Sevens team, and so we have sports as a cultural diplomacy initiative. We really push this sort of whole of country approach to our relation with China. So you're right, it can't be business as usual. It can't be this kind of sense that we're just China's sandpit, right, or food bowl. We can't be just selling rocks and food to China. We have to be engaging at all levels of the country through all different backgrounds of people, all different ages.
Bruce, I mean, and again, business as usual, i.e. we can't stay complacent. We need to be on the front foot. We need to be proactive in shaping and in seeking to direct the future of that relationship. Business as usual is essentially sitting on our seats and basically going the flow, not shaping the flow.
How many people do you have on this dialogue?
So we have delegates, we have 30 delegates, 15 brilliant young Chinese early career professionals typically, and their equivalent from Australia, so 15 Australian delegates. Then we have an administrative team of approximately 10.
How were the delegates chosen? How many applicants did you have?
We had a lot of applicants and it was an incredibly difficult process. Only 5% of applications of applicants were selected. We had well over 600 applicants, and I've got to say all of them were incredibly good applications. Choosing just 15 from each side was almost impossible. It was such a difficult task.
Looking at the qualifications of them, the CVs, they seem to be a very impressive bunch from both sides. Young people already with an amazing accumulation.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, there are a lot of very upwardly mobile young Australians and Chinese now embracing, you know, the globalized world, and people are able to have, people are exposed to much more opportunity than I think they ever have been in the past. The delegates that we've targeted, obviously it's been through a process of self-selection.